Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me today. Those of you who just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here, part of our day. My website is www.jbsba.com. And folks, I think I forgot to mention earlier, that, and I usually do this at the beginning, I just think I just forgot about it. I'm on the road. So if the trans, if our broadcast sounds a little bit different today, hopefully it doesn't sound worse, but it's because I'm on the road. And when we're on the road, we use different equipment. Sometimes it sounds a little bit different. So that's what's going on. And let me reintroduce many of you to our friend Barbara Weltman, who's going to join us for the next few minutes and talk to us about something that I think is kind of important. To some of you, it's a little bit of an esoteric issue, but I think by the time we're through, you'll realize that if you're a small business owner, it may not be as esoteric as you thought. And she's our good friend, as I said, Barbara Weltman. She's one of our top tax experts in our brain trust. Barbara, welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
It's good to have you back, as always, Barbara. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
And since I'm on the road, I don't have your huge stack of wonderful books in front of me, so remind the audience of your latest tax book for small business.
It's J.K. Lass's Small Business Taxes, 6th edition.
6th edition, folks. What does that tell you? How about that kind of success? Congratulations, Barbara.
And we're working on the 7th.
All right.
We're getting ready for next year.
Barbara, earlier in the week, Karen Kerrigan, who's the chairman of the Small Business Survival Committee and a mutual friend of ours, was on the show talking about small business public policy issues. One of the things that she brought up was a bill that was literally going to be voted on that day in the House.
Mm-hmm.
To basically ban limiting or to ban expensing the requirement by FASB, and I'll get you to tell us who those people are in a minute, to limit stock options for businesses, and to not require them to expense stock options, I guess I should say. And she said it was going to pass that day. She thought it would. It actually did. But I wanted you to join us today to talk to us a little bit about this issue. Now, can you set up the whole thing for us and also tell us what FASB is?
Sure. What you're talking about is the Stock Option Accounting Reform Act. And just to keep everybody up to date, it's passed the House, as you said, but it hasn't gone to the Senate yet. And so it's not a law yet. It's just, it has just gotten support in the House. What it does, it's a blow to the FASB rules. And FASB is the Financial Accounting Standards Board,
right,
which sets up accounting rules that everybody follows. It's not something that's, it's sort of like a standard, and all companies follow this standard.
Right.
So that
it's a way of making sure everybody's
on the same page,
right,
and you sort of can understand financial statements and reports because it's everybody's doing it the same way.
Well, it's that way that when I give my financial statements to my banker, and you give your financial statements to the same banker, he or she doesn't have to interpret them. They can look at the numbers. They know where to go for what they need. And same thing,
exactly,
for investors and on Wall Street and the stock markets and et cetera, et cetera. It's a good thing.
Actually, that's exactly right.
So that's FASB, and FASB has been wanting. FASB wants companies to expense stock options, don't they?
Right. The way it had been from day one was that stock options were not subtracted from income. They were just they were just a notation on a financial statement, a little asterisk.
Sort of out there in their own little world, weren't they?
Right, a little asterisk, and at the bottom you see. But about a couple of years ago, they thought it was more appropriate from an accounting standpoint to require companies to subtract, in other words, deduct the value of the stock options from net income. And in fact, 600 of some of the largest companies like IBM, Microsoft, and GE
right.
voluntarily switch to this method
right.
and already do it.
But Barbara, let me stop you for a second because we're going to a break in a minute. Before we go okay. to the break, folks, I want to say this to you. If you're a small business owner and you think this is way beyond your pay grade, this is way above whatever you're ever going to do, I'd like to encourage you just to go ahead and listen to this and take this in, the things that Barbara's going to talk to us about, because believe it or not, I think I'm going to be able to show you, Barbara, I think Barbara and I are going to be able to show you how we can democratize this so that you can see that one day, maybe not in the too distant future and maybe not beyond the realm of possibility, this could impact you in your ability to capitalize and grow your business. So hang on. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about this some more right after these messages with our good friend Barbara Weltman. Stay with us. We're back.
And you need
17 till.
Helping hand.
I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. And when I'm down and troubled and I need a helping hand, I call one of my good friends, Barbara Weltman, and she always answers the phone. She's always happy to hear from me, and I'm always happy to hear of her voice. And I'll tell you, folks, especially in terms of your taxes, Barbara Weltman is one of your best friends. You may not know it yet. And I really encourage you to find out whatever she has to say on her website, in her newsletter, her books, whatever she has to say is not just tax stuff. It's tax stuff that's focused on the way you think about pay and manage your finances, especially with regard to accounting and to taxes. And Barbara, for all you do for small business owners, we thank you.
Oh, thank you for that.
Give us your website, please.
You can see me at BarbaraWeltman.com and BWIdeas.com.
Okay, and they can get your newsletter from either one of those locations, right?
Right, at BWIdeas.
And can they find the list of your books there as well?
At Barbara Weltman, you'll see all my books.
At BarbaraWeltman.com. And, of course, folks, all you have to do is really just go to the walk in any of your stores, and they'll have the J.K. Lasser series of books there that Barbara's been working on for a long time. Barbara, we're talking about the stock option issue, folks, that's before Congress right now. Let's talk about, for a minute, let's really democratize this thing and talk about why being able, not being required to expense stock options helps companies grow their businesses. You want to start?
Well, sure. Let me just say what this law did. What it did was it barred the FASB rule of requiring stock options to be deducted from net income for everybody except for the top five people in the company.
Right. The top five executives. Right.
Yeah, the top five.
And that's typically the company, where the lion's share of the options and the option sizes are so big that those numbers could significantly impact the reporting of the company.
Right, but the businesses that supported this move were the tech companies,
right?
Because this is a way for companies that are just getting started and really are not as large as the IBM and the Microsoft and the GE.
Many times they're tiny businesses when they start giving stock options, aren't they?
Right, and they want, and it's a way for them to share, to have their employees have a stake in the business. And so this was very important to that sector because this is the way they operate. This is their, you know, maybe other types of companies don't necessarily share as much with their employees
right.
through stock options.
Well, let's think about this. Okay, let's say that I've got a small business and I've got 5 employees, 10 employees, and it's a technology company. And let me tell you something, folks. There are lots and lots of those folks out there right now, Barbara, aren't there? I mean, they're all over the place. This is not some once in a lifetime thing. This is happening all over the place. And let's say I need a really high powered person to help me take my business to the next level, and I can't afford to pay that person the $250,000 a year that he or she can command.
That's absolutely true. But if he believes in the company,
and
he has a stake, he'll work today for the promise of tomorrow.
Maybe he or she would work for nothing. Maybe they come in and they say, you know, look, I'll tell you what I'll do. I don't have to have the money. I've already got, you know, what I need to live on. You know, he or she can see the impact that their payroll would have on this little business when it needs the capital to buy equipment. And as you say, they do it on the come and expecting it to happen in the future. And if the company then has to expense what that option is, then that really hurts the company's ability to be viable, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And so that's the reason why, Barbara, I wanted you to talk about this, because, see, what we just talked about was a true small business problem.
Absolutely.
And hopefully
those small businesses, with the promise of the stock options and getting good employees, will grow and become large public companies.
Right. Exactly. And that's what this gentleman meant when he said, I'm trying to find the quote here. He said this has much broader implications for the marketplace than just the bottom lines of these companies.
Well, this was originally spearheaded as a move for shareholders in a sense, so that shareholders of public companies, you know, it was a way to ensure that they were getting a better picture of what
was
actually going on in a company, you know, post Enron and that kind of
thing. Because there were some abuses of this, wasn't there?
Well, yeah, I guess they would actually expect that if the large public tech companies would have to start expensing now, that their earnings per share could decrease by like 45-50%.
Right.
I mean, that's how much is out there now.
Right. So there ought to be a way, and hopefully that's where they'll come to. There ought to be a way to blend, you know, the two challenges together to make sure that companies don't have to expense these options. And also to be able to ride herd on the companies that might be in the, you know, that might have an opportunity to take to abuse this law or this rule. And so surely they can come up with something. Now the problem, it seems the problem has been, Barbara, and this is what I read yesterday, that Congress and FASB really weren't talking. FASB sort of sold up on them.
Exactly. FASB said that, you know, we have the authority and we're going to do it.
It's our way or the highway, and that's not going to work, folks. In the 21st century, that kind of attitude is not going to work. Going to take a quick break. It's 10 till. We'll be right back with our good friend, Barbara Weltman. Stay with us, please. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to hear any of the interviews that Barbara and I have had, Barbara Weltman, who's our guest this half hour, any of the interviews we've had over the last few months or a few years, they're there in our archives. So look under the Brain Trust. The quickest way to get there is either go to the tax item in our list of archives, or go to the Brain Trust list and look for Barbara's name, and then click on her name, and click on her archives, and there they are. And plus a bunch of articles that we've got there. And Barbara, your website is bwideas.com.
Mm-hmm.
And barbaraweltman.com.
That's correct.
And they can subscribe to your newsletter there, so check that out, folks, when you get a chance. And they can also sign up for a tax tip, too, can't they?
Every day you can just read free.
Okay, that's right. You just post it on the website, don't you? Yeah.
Every day.
A different tax tip every day. So check that out, folks.
Not only tax tips, but other small business tips.
Right.
Everything to help your small business.
We're talking about the bill. We're talking about a law that's going through Congress right now that would...
Stock Option Accounting Reform Act.
Exactly. Thank you. And this is to... the idea is whether to require companies to expense stock options or not. And in my opinion, small business owners need not to have to expense stock options. And one of the reasons, Barbara, that I'd like to talk about right now is, how would I know? Remember my little scenario of this guy that I brought on board who's going to be, you know, kind of a, a real powerful player in my company and is not, who's not going to require me to pay him as much, how would I know how to value those options?
Well, you're absolutely right. One of the biggest problems and one of the reasons why there's so much contention on this point is no one really knows how to value stock options.
Right. Has FASB proposed a way to value them? I mean, let's say that he works for $50,000 a year and he would ordinarily have gotten $250,000. Does that mean that they want me to take $200,000 a year off of my income like that? I mean,
no, there are other ways to value it. I'm not really clear on that, but no, it doesn't work that way. But again,
that's the absolute way.
Yeah.
And what if those shares wind up becoming worth $5 million in 3 years?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Well, you'd have to value them now, what they're worth now, not what they're going to be worth.
Right. So anyway, it's really.
But you could argue they're worth nothing now.
Right. That's exactly right. And because it's a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara, where is this going to go? What's going to be the what do you think the resolution is going to be on this?
Well, there's another bill going along simultaneously, which would postpone this whole issue and give Congress an opportunity to study it and sort of block FASB's rule for the interim. And that might have a better chance. We don't really know. As I said, the bill hasn't even gone to the Senate yet, and they would have to take some action. But I think we're going to have some indication by Labor Day. That's what they're saying, that we'll sort of get an idea by Labor Day.
Mm-hmm. That'll be very interesting. Folks, before we leave this topic, because I want Barbara to give us some last-minute tax tips here before we go, but before we leave this, follow this. Track this. If you're a small business owner and one day you'd like to think that your business could grow, this is not just about going public either, by the way, folks. This is I'm telling you, in my consulting business years ago, Barbara, I helped some small, tiny companies develop stock options for a couple of key employees. This is not some big business thing. This is on our level, too. So track this. Follow this a little bit. And when you see it in the paper, you know, pay a little more attention to it. Barbara, we got about a minute. Give us we got some dates coming up we need to pay attention to, don't we?
Yeah, August 2nd is a big date because it just happens that July 31st falls on a Saturday this year. So August 2nd is the due date for the 5,500 forms. Those are the information returns if you have a qualified plan, and these are reporting on your qualified plans for 2003. So if you have a profit-sharing plan, a 401k for your employers, you have to file these information returns.
Right.
You get the form from the IRS, and my caution is if you haven't gotten it in the mail, you can't download it from the website. You have to call the IRS and have it sent to you because it's a scannable form, and then it gets filed with the Department of Labor, not with the IRS.
Okay.
But it's an easy form to complete. It's just an information return saying what the assets in the plan are.
But there's a heads up for you, folks. Also, Barbara, quickly, the taxes, the quarterly taxes are due soon, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that was my second thing, that the employment, the quarterly employment form, the 941 reporting the compensation that you paid in the second quarter of 2004.
That's due when, Barbara?
That's also due at August 2nd.
August 2nd, okay. Thanks, Barbara. See you next time. Barbara Weltman, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. I will be, too, after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Whatever you do, don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.